going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube, too, at the Team 980. Caps get going in the NHL playoffs tonight. They come in riding an anti-hot streak. They are not playing good hockey. Can they turn it around? We will ask Greg Wyshynski of ESPN coming up at 5:30. And we will actually later in the week, scheduling note, Wednesday and Friday, our shows are going to be cut short, which, Anthony, we're very sad about.
It's getting ridiculous, Craig.
Yeah, I mean, we thought 7 o'clock season was here, and then lo and behold, here we are getting thrown off the air at 6:15 because of Nats and Orioles. I blame Kevin Brown.
I do too then, since you blame him.
It's Kevin Brown. It's all your fault. It's not Kevin Brown's fault. The Capitals will be playing Wednesday and Friday as well. We'll have Nats baseball here on the Team 980, of course, normally over on our sister station, 106.7 The Fan. But we have a ton of NFL draft coverage all week long, including some fresh podcasting from your boys at Take Command. That is, of course, me and Logan Paulson. And we talked this morning about Logan's process making his big board. The process argument itself was pretty fascinating. That's how we started the show. So definitely would recommend anybody who wants to go kind of inside that process to check out the full edition of Take Command wherever it is that you get your podcasts. But for now, we want to let you get some insight on some of the players and some of the key positions. So Logan has finalized his rankings when it comes to the edges, the wide receivers, I mean, obviously pretty much everyone in this class. And we pick up with the edge players and then talk about the pass catchers, which is an interesting group because it also including the tight ends. And that is today's edition of Not My Beat, Take Command style here on the Team 980. Take Command Podcast, Logan Paulson there, Craig Hoffman here. Logan's big board coming to the Commander's website near you. It's just on your laptop. It's the same Commander's website for everybody. Or you can also do it on your phone, your tablet. You know how the internet works. It's 2025. All right, Logan, I will read, though, from your big board. Tier 1 edges, you have Abdul Carter. Tier 2 edges, you have no one. Yeah. Tier 3, Mike Green, Jalen Walker, Michael Williams, Shamar Stewart, Donovan Ezeraku. Is that the actual order, or is it like, is Ezeraku the final guy in tier 3? Or is that just kind of how you put him in here?
Yeah, I think he's probably the final guy in tier 3, but I think, like, just to add context, like, him, Michael Williams, and Shamar Stewart are like about as close as you could possibly get. They're clustered right there. And so I think he's, the more I've watched Donovan Ezeraku, like, you know, when I first started this, when I did my first like list of 10, like, he didn't make my list. Like, he just, whatever reason, I didn't watch him or I didn't remember his film. But then as I've kind of revisited and gone back to him, like, I think he maybe outside of Mike Green has the has the closest kind of proximity to being a difference maker as a pass rusher right out of the gate. So I think he could be really special. So, you know, when I see that's again, I get so excited when I see a mock draft saying, oh, he'll be available at 29. I'm like, that's exactly the skill set that the Commanders are looking for in terms of a guy that can be disruptive on a down to down basis as a pass rusher. So, yeah, I'm very, very high on him and his skill set, no doubt.
Yeah, he is very interesting because of the body type and everything. And that's the thing that makes the edge position so hard is like there's going to be other teams that just probably don't even have him on the board because that's he like his skill set is the lighter kind of bendier or whatever edge is not for whatever reason something that they want or they want the bigger body type. And I think, you know, we've talked about Shamar Stewart a lot, but he is so fascinating because he is a Myles Garrett piece of clay. And I don't say that like flippantly, like he is Myles Garrett size, roughly Myles Garrett's weight. It's hilarious because they went to the same school. And he is also Myles Garrett athleticism, 40 inch vertical, like 11 foot broad, like the whole thing. Except for Myles Garrett is incredibly productive and was incredibly productive, and thus he was a number one overall pick. And he did everything at an A-plus level in college and has translated most of that to the NFL, and that's why he's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Shamar Stewart has never had more than a sack and a half in a season. And so what you do with that is difficult. And, you know, where I think where I've kind of landed on Stewart is like at 29, you're never going to find a better piece of clay. So if that's the best guy available, like I'm willing to take it. If Stewart and Isaraku were somehow on the board together, which feels very, very unlikely. Yes. And I think it's very unlikely all these guys are off the board. I'd probably go in Isaraku's direction for having more proof. But if, you know, I think that's kind of the interesting thing is these guys, you know, Williams and Walker and Stewart are pretty much all projections. And then Green, there's obviously the other off-field stuff that we know about, but he was the FBS sack leader, and Isaraku was second. So you're talking about two very different, not extremes, I guess extremes in terms of production, but two very, very different evals that wind up with roughly the same score in terms of the tier and bucket that they're in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, you know, Mike Green, I think, could be special. But again, there's concerns about his ability to play with power consistently. But like when you watch the film, like he's just a maniac, man. He's just an absolute lunatic the way he plays the game. And I love that. And obviously the off-field stuff is a thing. But the more guys I talk to, the more people that I've talked to, they're less concerned, you know, around the NFL. They're less concerned about the off-field stuff. So I'm kind of putting my hat in that, and that the people that I've talked to don't seem to be concerned about it. So I'm becoming less concerned about it. And then obviously as you go down the list, like, you know, Jalen Walker, is that his name? Jalen from, Jalen Walker.
I mean, by the way, if people see me on YouTube looking down, it's because I have the beast with me here. The hard copy version that Logan is definitely not jealous that I have.
I'm very jealous of it.
At all.
I've been fussing around on my phone for weeks with that thing. Anyway, so then Jalen Walker to me is a projection. I think he's, you know, like, but when you watch him, there's a physicality and a competitive toughness and an intellect that seems to show up. Mykael Williams, again, when you watch his 2023 stuff, you understand why people thought he was going to be a top 10 pick this year. Like, he's playing on one leg. He's got this ankle injury the whole year. And I just think the road for him to get to the NFL is so short. He's like going to be such a good player right out the gate. And then we just talked about Shamar Stewart and Donovan Isaraku. And I think, again, like, those guys are kind of your flavor. And I think they're like 23 or like 22 and 23 respectively, if you're going on order on my big board. So I think they're really good football players. I think they're going to get pushed up in a class where there's not a ton of talent. But yeah, man, like if Isaraku or Shamar Stewart were there at 29, which seems extremely unlikely, you know, I think that'd be a great fit for the Washington Commanders.
So you listened to the conversation that I had with Jeremy about James Pierce. And I feel like we should talk about him for a second as well. He's the top of tier four for you on the edges.
Yeah.
Hearing what Jeremy had to say, and also like you got him in tier four, he's got him six overall. So there's a huge difference in evaluation on the player, as well as, you know, kind of, I think the comfort level on what you're hearing. In terms of, you know, the effort level, who he is as a kid, all that kind of stuff. Where have you landed on Pierce and why, I guess, why have you landed tier four on Pierce at this point in the process?
So there's a couple things that kind of go into this. One is, I think, is Pierce a great athlete? Sure. But is he a very specific type of rusher? That's also true. And so what I mean by that is, like, he is a pure speed. They call him high rushers. So I'm going to rush high on the tackles, outside shoulder, and really try to win with speed, kind of chasing the arc. When I look at guys in the NFL, like those guys, yes, like Vic Beasley is a good example of this. Like, can you be productive doing that? Yeah, but the consistent.
But he had one good year.
Yeah, the consistent year on year production is more challenging to come by because it's easier to deal with that guy, right? Like, I used to talk to Vic when I was with him in Atlanta and be like, if you could just bowl like 10% of the time, you'd have 15 sacks every year, but you don't want to. And so when I see this rush profile that James Pierce brings, where I'm rushing high, I don't always use power. I have it, but I don't use it, and I'm a little bit stiff. I'm like, how effective is that? Now, if he was crystal clear, no off-field stuff, like maybe I'd be a little bit higher on him, but I generally don't like that rush profile generally. You know what I mean? It just makes me nervous because of the people that I've played with that have played like that, and I've blocked people like that, and it's like, okay, I'm just going to set vertical. You're going to run at my upfield shoulder. I'm going to keep setting. You're going to keep chasing, and eventually, like, you're going to run yourself out of the play. He has a little bit of that to him. Now, I'm not saying he does it all the time. There's times where he beats you inside. There's stuff that he does well. But I think people get so caught up with the 40 time, the twitch, and you should, because those are important things for playing the position. But I think there's other things, other players that I like more at the spot in terms of play style, consistent effort, like I want to bet on, you know? And so then I know Jeremy said that he's talked to a bunch of people. I got to call Jeremy and figure out who he talked to about it, because like almost every person to a man that I've spoken to about James Pierce Jr. has said that the staff there is not super stoked on him. So for whatever that's worth, like I trust Jeremy. He's does a great job researching, but I just haven't found those people that he's talking to. And again, it could be, you know, a false positive, whatever it is, but that the play style coupled with the off-field stuff is just so risky. Like, even in that tier four, like I know he's the first guy in tier, whatever that is, tier 4 or 5.
Tier 4, yeah.
I like Nick Scorton. I like Landon Jackson, and I like JT Tuimoloau more than him. I think they're better football players. I think I'm betting a little bit on the athlete and the teams are going to see this athlete and be like, we can get him coached up. But in terms of guys that are more ready right now, those other three guys, man, I think they're awesome. I think those are Commanders football players. And I still have questions about James Pierce Jr. and his ability to be, quote unquote, a Commander.
Yeah, and that's where I ultimately land with this is – I hear Jeremy's argument that University of Tennessee, you know, as Jeremy said at the end of that conversation, like, look what just happened with their quarterback and pull the string. Pull the string and you're like, oh, Tennessee's a mess as a program. Their NIL collective is like one of the most ridiculous ones in the country. They are paying kids out the wazoo. And at 20, 21 years old, that might create a sense of entitlement, a way about you that doesn't come off great. And there's definitely a chance you mature out of that. But in the first round of the NFL draft, are the Washington Commanders going to take someone who does not have the Commanders tag? I think there's no way, absolutely no way that Adam Peters is going to do that. And even if they think that, you know, if they got him in the third round, could they help in their environment, you know, and Dan Quinn and Adam and, you know, the staff, the other players they brought in, a guy like a Dietrich Wise, incredible mentor, like, could they get something great out of James Pierce? I definitely think that's possible. That's not an unreasonable thing to question. But he's not going to get the Commander tag. Like, he's not going to earn that based off of who he is right now. And if that's the case, he's not getting drafted by them in the first round. Now, I say that definitively, and watch, they'll take him in the first round and be like, well, we trust our people, sure. And we think he's an athlete. And if so, like, great. And to me, that would tell us that, you know, there's enough there inside him that they think they can get it out. And it really is immaturity, and immaturity can turn to maturity with age and guidance. But I just have a really hard time believing that anybody who doesn't have the Commander's tag is going to be their first pick in this draft. And I don't see him as a guy who has that.
Yeah, and it also shows up on film a little bit too. And I think that's the other thing. Like, talk about Mike Green and his off-field stuff. We've talked about that a little bit, but like, he plays like an absolute psycho. You know, Jalen Walker, psycho. Like those other guys, Shamar Stewart, say what you want about him, but like, he plays like he wants to get in a car accident every play. Landon Jackson, same thing. Nick Swarton, same thing, right? So like, if I'm betting on somebody, and then you watch James Pierce Jr. and he's kind of the ball's away and he's kind of moping around, jogging. He's not super consistent with his effort against the run. You're like, again, when these other guys are willing, it seemingly, to die on the football field for you, like, I'm going to go in that direction. I'm going to invest in that. Donovan Ezeraku, same thing, man. He plays hard. Like, and I want that. And again, I'm I'm an old blue collar blocking tight end, right? And I think about players that I don't want to play. And those are the guys that come up. And I've played guys like, you know, who are great pass rushers that take plays off and they are going to be Hall of Famers, right? But the guys that I would lose sleep over at night were the guys that played absolutely like psychos and played hard. And I think that's where I would just, there's just so many guys that play that way. So why would I risk it with someone that I'm unsure about, even though he's a tremendous athlete? And again, he's the number one guy in my tier four because I think people are going to bet on the athlete. But if Logan Paulson, GM, is sitting on the table, I'm like, shoot, I want Landon Jackson. I want Nick Skor, and I want Tuimoloau from Ohio State. Like, those are the guys. Like, when you watch them, I'm just like, they're not – the ceiling isn't there, but the floor is so high and just, like, good cultural pieces. So that's kind of where I fall on it. And, again, if they drafted James Pierce Jr., am I excited as a Commanders fan? Absolutely, because he's got something special in terms of athletic juice and upside. But, again, I'm a little bit dubious that they go that direction because I think there's just other people at the spot that are going to play hard for you all the time.
Is there anybody else, tier five, tier six, that you are really, really pumped about if they draft and you think fits kind of both the off-field from what you know and the on-field profile of what they want? So as you said, you got Pierce, Skorton, Jackson, Tuimoloau in tier four. Tier five starts with Femi Oladejo and goes from there.
Femi Oladejo, I mean, gosh, man, like, talk about a commander. Like, and I'm probably a little bit higher on him than like the national media, just, but like watching his leadership, watching his play style, like, it just screams commander to me. I do think Umanyelen from Ole Miss is interesting because he's kind of this pass rush project that could develop. Braden Swinson from LSU feels, again, has that same kind of commandery type feel, good length, understands how to win. And then you got a guy like Jack Sawyer, who, again, I think a lot of people probably have higher than me, but plays hard, smart, instinctive football player. I worry about his ceiling. You know, I think on the podcast, Jeremy said, oh, he reminds me a little bit of Hubbard from Cincinnati. I think that's a great comp. That's exactly what he reminds me of. But the thing about Hubbard is he plays hard and he's been a consistent starter for 7 years in the NFL. And so if that's what you're getting in like the bottom of the second, early third round, like that feels like a winning combination as far as Commanders football players go. And then I know we're talking about edge rushers, but another guy that I'm a little bit lower on than the consensus that I just feel like I need to throw out there for Commanders tag is Tyler Booker from Alabama. Like, he is everybody you talk to said this guy is like a leader. He understands football. He wants to be great. And again, the athletic testing is a little bit on the low side, which is why he's down the list for me. But God bless, like, from a off the, like, anybody you talk to, anybody that's given him an interview is just like, he's got that vibe to him. And so, again, just to kind of give another name that people might not be thinking about for the Commanders, but I think would be an interesting fit there at 29.
Yeah. That definitely is, and I've seen him mocked all over the place. You see him in the 50s sometimes. You see him in the, there is a possibility that he's available for them at 61. That feels very unlikely. There's also a possibility he's gone at 12 or 13,
Which is crazy.
That's something else about this class too that I think is interesting.
That's exactly what I was going to say. You know, I kind of facetiously on one of the shows I did last or 2 weeks ago with the Command Center guys, I said there's not a difference between 5 and 40, and I kind of was like joking around when I said that. But after doing this, I was like, there's really not. Like, it's really, truly, you could probably push that to 55 if you wanted to, but there's really, truly, like, it's, I like this player more than this player, and it's totally subjective. Like, one for me that's really interesting on the big board is Malachi Starks versus Nick Amonwori. Like, Malachi Starks is like my 8th player or something like that, just because I trust the film so much when I watch it. But if you said, I'm actually higher on Nick Amonwori, I'm going to take him at 8, you're not wrong. Like, the athletic upside that he brings is 100% there. I just value different things than you. And I think you just go through every player. We were talking about Matthew Golden earlier compared to Tetro McMillan.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like that for a big chunk of this draft. So in some ways, I think it's better that the Commanders are picking at 29 because there's going to be a plethora, a cornucopia of good football players there. You just got to make sure you've identified the commander of this group.
Yeah, for sure. I want to talk more about the receiving group in a second and kind of some last minute thoughts on positionally where Washington could go. But there's a couple things that then are kind of side effects of that. And I thought Dame was talking about this on their show the other day where it's kind of like, hey, someone's got to be my 8th player. You know, the guy, like Malachi Starks in a normal draft, in last year's draft, is comfortably in the 20s. And you're like, yeah, that's kind of where a player of that caliber belongs.
Perfect.
And you're like, he's a safety. He could be really good, but like not a prime position in a lot of ways. And there's some real question marks, like kind of what's his position? Is he a nickel? Yeah. Is he a safety? Like you get the right usage package and he's Brian Branch and like, that would be sweet. And in that way, if the Jets took him at 7 or traded back and took him at 12, because the Cowboys want to go up and get Tet McMillan or something, like that's a great fit. Like Aaron Glenn gets Malachi Starks. You're like, oh, great crap, fit. That dude's going to be a Pro Bowler. You could also see him being a total bust if he goes to the wrong spot. Jahdae Barron, same thing. Like these guys are the types of guys that you'd want in the 20s. And there's not enough guys to push them down. Somebody's got to be, like if you could have blank spots for the top five, then put Genty, Carter, and who's your other tier one guy, Hunter, at like 6, 7, and 8. Leave 8 through 20 blank and then start your board from there. That's how this board should look. But the problem is there's not players. And ultimately, you're ranking the players in this class. And I think that is something that we're just going to have to remember for these guys for the rest of their careers. If guys underachieve based off of their draft status, is like, it's not their fault they came out in a weak class. You take who's the best player available. And that also is obviously going to affect the trades, because you could get a team that falls in love with a player and wants to trade up. But if everyone kind of agrees that 15 to 40 or 10 to 40 or 6 to 40 is the same, then like, why would you trade up? And thus that makes it really hard to trade down, because that's how that works. You can't trade down to yourself.
Dude, it's a great point. And it was so, like, I've said that. And then, but doing this, I was like, holy cow. Like, you know, like the difference between, I don't know, Jaden Higgins and Tetro McMillan is marginal. Like, I think Tetro is better, but it's marginal. Like if you were in a dark room and we're in a draft room and you're like, I think Jaden Higgins is better than Tetro McMillan, like, I could see it. Like, I'm not like, that's not like a crazy thing to say. I mean,
you just talked about how much you love Loveland, right? How different is Terrence Ferguson than Colson Loveland?
That's a great point, man. It's a great point, because in terms of body type, they're almost exactly the same. They're like the same height. They're about the same weight. I think Loveland has a little bit more route running technicality, but the athletes are like, you change the uniform, it's like, well, who's who? And so again, like that's, I think very highly of Terrence Ferguson, obviously, but it's a great point. It's a great point. And I think it's just one of those things where I think no player maybe typifies this better than like Mason Taylor from LSU, the tight end. Like I was for the longest time, I didn't know what to do with him. I didn't know where he fit. I was like, what's the deal? So I started talking to some of my buddies in the league, some scouts that I know, whatever. And it was just like, I trust him. And when they said that, I was just like, he's going to be like a borderline first round pick in this draft, because it's like,
I think he could be.
Yeah, because you're comparing him to other people with character issues, with, you know, work ethic issues. And all of a sudden, like when a coach says that, or when a scout says that, I trust him in a landscape like this, like that's valuable. And that's going to go much higher. And I think like that's maybe the perfect iteration of that. Like I trust Colston Loveland when I watch the tape. I know what he's going to be. Same thing with Mason Taylor.
All right, so let's wrap this conversation up with a couple of positions that maybe aren't the top of the Commanders' needs list, but there could be really interesting players available, and Logan's big board kind of illustrates that. So we'll do that to wrap up the show next. All right, if you want to hear that and the conversation that preceded what you just heard about how Logan put his big board together and why it was such a kind of hard experience for him this year, definitely want to check out Take Command wherever you get your podcasts. When we get back here on the Hoffman Show, Capitals, they are kicking off their hopeful Stanley Cup hunt tonight. The journey begins at home against Montreal. ESPN's Greg Wyshynski, their national hockey writer, joins us to discuss here on the Team 980.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You know, I never thought in my life I would say if it's Juicy J, it means you know we're talking Caps. But then Alex Ovechkin and the Capitals of 2025 changed history. Of course, that's not the only history Ovechkin made this year. And now he's hoping to make even more with a deep playoff run. Capitals get going in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight. The game is on, of course, Monumental Sports Network, also on ESPN. And to talk about it with us and what kind of chances the Caps have, we bring back to the show ESPN senior NHL writer Greg Wyshynski. Greg, thanks as always for joining us, man.
It's my pleasure. I'm happy the Caps are back in the playoffs and thriving. They were in last year, but they're thriving now. They're not just like visiting. They have a chance to go far.
They do, although the thriving made me feel a lot better, and I would enthusiastically agree, like a week ago. And then they closed the season like they did, Greg. And then on the other side of this, the Montreal Canadiens needed to catch fire to make the playoffs. They did. So you have a one seed that limped in, an eight seed that's on fire coming in. How concerned should the one seed, our beloved Washington Capitals, be about that?
Well, listen, the Caps problems, I think, can be chalked up to some injuries, some of which they're still dealing with. They could be chalked up to not really having had anything to play for about a month and a half. And it can be chalked up to how weird things got when, like, the director of the FBI and Wayne Gretzky keep showing up to your games for, like, a weekend, for, like, 2 weeks. You know, there was a bit of a distraction there for a little bit. I think they're going to be fine. There is cause for concern because the Canadiens do fit the template of a team that could pull an upset. Like you said, not only having to play important hockey games down the stretch while the Caps did not, but also having some really good, enthusiastic, dynamic young players that could be game changers in Lane Hutson and now Ivan Dedeov. And really, you know, overall a roster that's probably too dumb to understand what playoff pressure feels like. But that being said, they also can't defend. And to me, that's the biggest point for in the series, is that if you look at Montreal, even during this push to make the playoffs, since the Four Nations tournament, they're 29th in the league in expected goals against at 5-on-5. They don't defend well enough to win in the playoffs. They're like a minus 21 goal differential on the season. And the Caps, to me, have enough offensive depth to really take advantage of that in the series.
Of course, the biggest injury question for the Capitals is between the pipes themselves on their defensive side of it. What do we know about the Caps goaltending situation both tonight and moving forward?
Well, I didn't see a call for tonight. Obviously, I think Spencer Carver has kind of played it coy as far as what Logan Thompson's availability is going to ultimately be for tonight. But, I mean, I think we're all assuming he's going to see action in the series. I mean, it's a luxury to have two guys that you have confidence in, and I think the Caps do have two guys they have confidence in. And to me, you know, it's important to get them both healthy and going, because I think when you look around the Eastern Conference, the Capitals' goaltending could be a real advantage. It's an advantage in this series, and it certainly could be an advantage if it's Carolina that advances past the Devils, which looks like it's probably going to happen based on Game 1, because I think the Achilles heel for that Carolina team, besides sometimes their struggle to get that one goal they need in the playoffs, is obviously what they have between the pipes versus what Washington could have. So hopefully Logan Thompson's ready to go. He had an incredible season up until the last couple of weeks before his injury. And I'm excited to see what both him and Lindgren can bring to the proceedings in the playoffs.
So for Thompson, I'd hate to say concerned, because it sounds like now I'm just like in full on worry panic mode, and all of my questions so far have been, but how could it go wrong? Here for Greg Wyshynski, the senior NHL writer for ESPN, who's with us here on the Hoffman Show. But I'll ask you this way, more neutral question. What's the precedent for a goalie coming back off an injury and the ability to regain form quickly in these high pressure moments that are NHL playoff hockey?
I like your anxiety. It's kind of a throwback to before when they won the cup, where every postseason discussion about the Capitals was like, how are they going to screw it up this time?
Well, just wait for my next one then, Greg, because boy, I'm going to really, really light the lamp with that one, so to speak. Pun yeah, intended.
I miss those days of walking into the arena and just feeling tension in the air at all times. Well, no, I mean, he hasn't played for a bit, so obviously, you know, you got to get back in the game. You got to have some shots on goal, feel yourself again. And on top of that, obviously adapt to the speed that comes with all of a sudden the playoff switch getting flipped. But I mean, he's been great for them this year. I mean, beyond expectation, and you know, from the contracts the Caps handed out to their goalies, to the accolades they've received by the organization, it's pretty clear they have confidence in both. So I would be surprised if goaltending ends up subverting them in a playoff series like this.
So the I have anxiety, but I need you to tell me it's going to be okay question is basically the Caps have had so many playoff runs that, you know, they win the President's Trophy, or they're just the, you know, a top seed or a favorite, whichever version of that. Of course, here, no President's Trophy, but the top seed in the East. That have come up short for a variety of reasons over the Ovechkin era outside of 2018, where they finally got the cup. Why would this one be different? What is it about this Caps team that most experts seem to feel like they're not necessarily the favorites in the NHL, but like it seems like most people I talk to about this, Greg, feel pretty good about this Caps team. Why?
Well, they feel good about them in this series. I think, like, overall, they're probably conservatively like the fifth choice. I mean, I think that there's definitely people that are on. There are definitely people that feel like the winner of that Battle of Florida series could win the cup. There are definitely people that feel like the Leafs are better than the Capitals. And there are definitely people that feel like Carolina will take them out in the next round. So I don't think in any way are they the favorite coming out of the East, even, you know, based on their regular season record. What's interesting about this team versus the teams that in the pre-Cup years would disappoint is, you know, you could make the argument that Ovechkin's the only star on the team. And by that, I mean, you're not waiting on some of the other guys that the Caps used to have to wait on to have good postseasons. And sometimes they would, and sometimes they wouldn't. I think there certainly is more of a widespread effort on the roster, like different hero every night, everybody kind of pulling their weight type stuff that happens with this team. And I'm excited to see exactly how much some of the supporting guys can contribute. Two guys in particular, I mean, one's Ryan Leonard. Like we talked about the two guys that have energized the Canadiens this year, including Davidoff, who comes in late. I mean, Ryan Leonard comes in late for the Caps, and he's been awesome. I mean, I can't – and his resume is filled with big moments in postseason tournaments and international tournaments. And the other guy is Pierre-Luc Dubois, who obviously has had a resurgent year for them ever since they bought low on him from the LA Kings. But, you know, in talking to Caps management earlier this season for a story – it was pretty clear that the way he played for the Blue Jackets in that one playoff series against the Caps was like one of the reasons they bought him in. Like they think that he can be a huge difference maker in the postseason in a way that he hasn't been in previous stops. So I'm intrigued to see if I mean, every other bet they've made on this guy has paid off this year. And I wonder if this one will pay off too.
Last question for Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer for ESPN. Is there any way the Capitals can have playoff success if it doesn't involve Alex Ovechkin being genuinely great?
No, not at all. I mean, like he's their leading goal scorer. And the other part about the playoffs, it's been kind of interesting, and we'll see if the trend continues in this series. A lot of power plays. You look across the league, there's been a lot of penalties called, a lot of power plays, a lot of power play goals. Overall in the league this year, they have the power plays on average had the highest conversion rate, I think, since like the mid 1980s. So
Wow. The
power plays, you know, been great across the board for the league. And obviously we know what Ovi can do on the power play. So it may set up for him in the early part of this series to really make an impact on special teams. But yeah, I mean, listen, he not only is it important from a numbers on the scoreboard perspective, but we know what happens to this team when he scores, and we know how much enthusiasm and uplift that comes with him scoring, especially on home ice. You know where he'll end up in the MVP voting. He probably won't be very high because his name has not necessarily been in circulation. But anyone who watches the Caps knows that when Ovi scores, it has a transformative effect sometimes for the way the game is played and the flow of game, and I expect that's going to be a factor in this series.
Would be a lot of fun, especially if you can get him going at home tonight. Greg Wyshynski, senior NHL writer for ESPN. Catch all of their Stanley Cup coverage on ESPN.com. And, of course, they're carrying a ton of the games on ESPN's slew of television networks. Greg, appreciate your time. It's always great to have you on, dude. Really appreciate it. And hopefully this is a long run so we can have you back.
Would love to. Thanks for having me.
All right. This is Greg Wyshynski, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show. When we get back, weekend in review, Anthony, I believe is what's on the rundown.
Yes, sir.
All right. Weekend. We tell you what else happened this weekend, although there wasn't really a main story. So we'll tell you everything in the whole wide world of sports that happened this weekend next here on the Team 980.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Why have we never used this as a rejoin music before, Anthony?
Do you know whose song this theme song this is?
Oh, this is a. Now you're doing wrestling bits.
John Cena, baby.
Anthony, you get 45 seconds to talk about WrestleMania. Go.
All right.
Your weekend preview still brought to you by nobody.
Yes, it is brought to us by nobody. So, Craig, I watched one WrestleMania match, and it happened to be John Cena's last final WrestleMania match at WrestleMania 41. He took on Cody Rhodes, and I was talking to Rooster about it. He didn't really like the match because it wasn't enough interferences. Usually there are, you know, multiple wrestlers like The Rock or like Roman Reigns. Like somebody's going to interfere in the main event of WrestleMania. And there was only one, Travis Scott. He got a crossroader yesterday, which was actually hilarious. It was my favorite part of the match. But yeah, Rooster wanted more drama, more cinema to it.
That was actually pretty well timed.
Thank you.
You actually did that in like 43 seconds. I'm actually...
I was looking up there.
It's amazing what you can do with the clock when you actually look at it. Maybe that's Rooster's problem. Maybe we should have him look at the clock.
Probably.
Does Sheehan have a clock in his studio?
He does to his left, but I guess he is facing this way, so...
I need to relocate that clock. Anyway, that's an inside radio joke. Cool. It's a TV show. And again, if you want to enjoy the TV show, that's fine. It's scripted television. And I got no problem with anyone who enjoys scripted television movies. Like, it's a form of entertainment. It's not... I'm not saying it doesn't take athleticism. It's just... It's not a sport. Because it's not an actual competition. Because they decide who wins beforehand. So, that's...
It is entertaining, though.
Sure. It's not my favorite show, but I'm not going to yuck anyone else's yum.
And I respect it, Greg. I respect it.
So I'm glad you enjoyed it. I wish the Rooster enjoyed it more.
Yeah.
There's Craig's WrestleMania recap. All right. What else happened this weekend? Brought to you by...
Nobody, Craig.
I'm going to start with the Washington Spirit because they deserve it. The Washington Spirit are the battled, walking wounded They have more talent on their injury report than most teams in the league have on their entire rosters. The Spirit right now, it was announced actually on Friday evening, maybe Saturday morning, one of those two, that Trinity Rodman, for my money, the best player in the world on the women's soccer, Spirit forward, U.S. Women's National Team forward, of course, as well, in the international side, that she is going to go to a specialist in London for her back. This is the back injury that late last year in a match against Orlando, she got taken off in a wheelchair after it spazzed up so bad on her. It has been bothering her ever since. She has still been insanely effective, but it's been an issue. She took a lot of time off this winter, worked her way back. It still is not right. And she actually even recently said in an interview that she is just going to have to deal with it for the rest of her career. And apparently, if someone else was like, no, we're going to get this thing checked out by someone else. And so she is going to London to get her back checked out. So she is out for the foreseeable future. Croy Bethune, rookie of the year last year and midfielder of the year in the league last year, had a knee injury, that freakish knee injury that happened while she tore her meniscus while throwing out the first pitch at the Nats game after the Olympics last year. She was ready to come off of the injury list for that. They actually took her off the list, and then all of a sudden she reemerged with a hip injury and still hasn't played this year. Hal Hirschfeld, their other Olympian, she got a nasty like sprained ankle in a match, 6 to 8 week injury. We're like 5 weeks into that. Casey Kruger, their other Olympian, yeah, they have a lot of them. She has a knee injury. Like on down the list. They had two players, Anthony, that played on Saturday with clubs on their hands because they're soccer players and they don't need to use their hands. Although Gabby Carl still had to figure out how to do throw-ins because she's an outside back.
Yeah, that is bad injury luck.
It's not good. It's not good. And yet, they went on the road at defending champion Orlando, who hasn't lost in forever, and they won 1-0. They got all 3 points at Orlando. They were very much playing just to try to hold the shutout. Can we get out of here with a tie? And one of their new signees, Gift Monday, real name, Gift Monday, got an actual gift. The Orlando keeper tried to play with her food a little bit, so to speak. Tried to get a little too cute clearing the ball. Monday took the ball from her, tapped it into the net. Bang, bang, 1-0. They hold on. And somehow, some way, with bubblegum, scotch tape, still a crazy amount of talent across their back line, Tara McKeown, Rebecca Bernal, Esme Morgan, Aubrey Kingsbury holding it down in the back, they found a way to win. This team is, like, I'm going to start talking about them more on the radio because they deserve it. One, because they're genuinely a phenomenal team. Their coach, Jonathan Giraldez, that dude is worth every cent they are paying him. But also, they're going to be playing Gotham this weekend. New York, the team from New York, Gotham FC, coming to town. I believe it's already sold out. So, like, people care. And so, at some point, I just go, why are we not talking about them more? And so, I think folks know, like, if there was ever going to be anyone to talk about the Spirit more in DC sports radio, it was going to be me anyway. They're selling out every game, and they're doing crazy, awesome stuff on the field. We're talking about them more. That's the majority of our weekend in review. That's how I spent my weekend, being happy about that.
Now, that's smooth. I mean, we're going to get out to some games. I thoroughly enjoyed my time.
You better get ahead of it, bro.
We need more people.
You better get ahead of it, bro, because they're sold out. Like, I can't get tickets for friends right now. They're like, hey, if some come available, we'll let you know first. And I got the inside hookup on that one. We were going to bring some of our friends this weekend to the game, and we could not get them tickets. So, yeah, that's where we're at right now. I think there's some tickets in, like, other sections potentially available. But, like, normally it's like, yeah, we can find some tickets in our section. Nope. Not literally none available. Other than that, Formula One this weekend, crazy beginning to the race, and then it was kind of boring from there. Oscar Piastri beat Max Verstappen off the line, got the the inside track into turn one, squeezed Max a little bit. I think that they correctly, Max Verstappen was assessed a penalty for corner cutting because he was like, fine, you're going to push me off. I'm just going to drive straight through this corner and pull out ahead of you, and then didn't give back the position. Ultimately had to give it back when he had to stop for 5 seconds during his pit stop. Oscar Piastri wins the race. Charles Leclerc, great weekend for Ferrari, gets back up to third. Lando Norris really screwed himself over in qualifying, crashed, and started 10th, and thus was only able to finish fourth. So Piastri now ahead in the Drivers' Championship for Formula One. Anything else? All the NBA playoff action we're going to talk about next. Anything else we should mention? Obviously, there's the other NHL action that happened this weekend, but any other things that we had in the weekend preview, for instance, that we should mention here now that it's over?
Nah, because we talked about WrestleMania already.
Oh, yeah. That's true. The Orioles gave up 7,000 runs yesterday.
That was ridiculous. 24-2?
I'm gonna name drop Spill Secret, not secrets here, but because he didn't, there's nothing on his side of it. So I walked into the prep studio today and the TV was on, and it was the Masson encore of that game. And I saw the score, and I didn't see the encore thing first, and I thought the Orioles were maybe playing a, you know, sometimes they'll do wraparound series and Monday's a getaway day. I saw they were down like 15-1, and I just go, oh, no, not again. And I took a picture of the screen, I quickly realized that it was the encore, but I took a picture of the screen and texted that to Kevin Brown and was like, I thought for a second that it was happening again, and I was starting to feel real bad for you. But no, it was just the encore on Masson. But that was that. The Nationals, how they do? I somehow missed the National scores this weekend. They were in Colorado. How'd it go, Anthony?
I don't know.
More of this professional sports show next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.